A Tennessee legend has moved on. Gus Manning passes away at the age of 99 early Monday morning. What a freaking life. Icon in every sense of the word. We're going to recap that and more here on your Tuesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I am your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me here today on a Tuesday. We got your mailbag questions coming up later in the show. We'll talk a little Tennessee basketball, but as I said in the cold open, Gus Manning, what a life. A Vol for life in every sense of that phrase right there. We're going to discuss him, the impacts, what people are saying on the passing of Gus Manning, all that and more here on your Tuesday show. And because of Gus Manning, this kind of has inspired the question of the day here on the podcast. And but feel free to answer at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Who was the greatest Vol of all time? And I think it's interesting, too, because Gus Manning was not a coach. Gus Manning was not an athlete. Gus Manning was a sports information director, but he was a Vol through and through. And you can't think of the pillars of Tennessee, especially Tennessee athletics, without mentioning Gus and Manning's name. Truly inspirational. So answer this today. Fill up the YouTube section, the comment section. Tweet me at underscore Kane or at Locked On Vols. DM me. Who was the greatest Vol of all time? I'd love to share some of your answers to that question and your reasoning on a show coming up this week. But anyway, appreciate you guys watching on YouTube as well, subscribing to the channel and listening wherever you find your podcast. It's a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Gus Manning passes away early Monday morning at the age of 99. 99 years old. My goodness. What a life. What a long life. He retired from Tennessee in a full-time capacity in 2000, and that was after nearly 50 years of full-time service to the University of Tennessee. So he was a full-time member in 2000, as late as 2000, and that was nearly 50 years of full-time service for the University of Tennessee. And he even had an office, maintained an office in Thompson Bowling Arena up until 2017, where he had the title of Consultant Athletics Director. He served 8 athletic directors. Gus Manning served 11 head football coaches. And the thing I love about Gus Manning is he was not, again, like I said, he was not a player. He was not a coach. He was a sports information director, among many things. He wore many, many hats. He worked himself up to be pretty much the deputy in chief to General Nealon and his right-hand man. He did pretty much whatever was asked of him. And, it's interesting, too. Tennessee put out a press release yesterday. I'm going to read some of this today. But this is a 2-page memo from Nealon to Manning following yet another Manning promotion in 1960. Outline the following direct responsibilities of his job title: ticketing, security, game day traffic and parking, band and cheerleaders, visiting locker room, programs and concessions, public address and scoreboard, halftime festivities, stadium cleanup, stadium and field house seating, ushers and janitorial staff, faculty advisor, track, baseball, diamond and tennis courts maintenance. A broadcast originated from the stadium, Sunday TV program during football season, stadium store, the East and the South Stadium Hall dining facility, practice field maintenance and groundskeepers, public relations program, speakers for the high school banquets, civil clubs, etc., purchasing, receiving, and accounting for athletics, team travel, and finally, accept and carry out any extra duties assigned by the athletic director as he sees fit. He was the right hand for General Nealon. As a coach, as an athletic director, I mean, he did it all. This is what, Gus Manning was. Again, he served for 8 different athletic directors at Tennessee, 11 different head football coaches, nearly 50 years of full-time service to the University of Tennessee. One of my favorite things I've read and heard about Gus Manning, of course, I already knew this, but 455 consecutive home games, Tennessee football home games. He did not miss a home game in 455 consecutive outings. That ended in the 2017 home opener to Indiana State when he was put into the hospital and then subsequently into a rehab facility and then to a nursing home of sorts.
just prior to that. I believe his number of UT football games was over like 800, both home and away games. But on his way to Lexington back in 2003, he had a minor car accident and had to return back, and that broke a streak of like 800 and something. Truly incredible, or 600 and something. It was magnificent. What he was also known for, this being Gus Manning, was the original locker room. Okay, the locker room was a radio show. In fact, still to this day, it is the longest continuous running sports radio show in the country. From 1960 to 2016, Gus Manning hosted the locker room. And it's still on the air today. You guys know I used to work at 99.1, the sports animal. It's the sports affiliate of WIVK, flagship station for the University of Tennessee. And our game day all day coverage, the locker room, still airs on our airwaves today. It's hosted by Bud Ford, but it was originally hosted by Gus Manning, along with Haywood Harris, who passed away in 2010, and now Bud Ford continues to carry out that show, the locker room. It's iconic, and it was started and it was first hosted by Gus Manning. So many people are chiming in and you know, giving their 2 cents and their thoughts and prayers and all this type of stuff. For, you know, Gus Manning and his family. I'm going to read a couple of those out for you here right now. Philip Fulmer, former Tennessee head football coach, of course, national championship winning coach, and former athletics director. This is a tremendous loss. We've lost a major piece of Tennessee history. Gus Manning is an icon. His personality and humor made him a pleasure to be around. And his historical knowledge about all that makes Tennessee athletics special was second to none. Our thoughts and prayers are with his family. This is SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on Gus Manning. Gus Manning leaves behind a legacy that has not only touched the University of Tennessee, but also the Southeastern Conference. Gus was involved in every area of Tennessee athletics over the decades with his array of responsibilities and developed relationships throughout the SEC that made him an icon, not only on Rocky Top, but throughout the conference. He was a fixture for many years at the SEC men's basketball tournament and a regular presence at other events. Condolences to his family, the University of Tennessee, and his many, many friends across the SEC and the country. That was Greg Sankey, his quote on Gus Manning. Bud Ford also, I mentioned Bud Ford a moment ago, Bud Ford had a quote here that I'm going to read right here. Let's see here. No doubt Gus Manning was a true legend, not only at Tennessee, but also throughout the Southeastern Conference and national athletic circles. He was a principal figure in the growth of Tennessee athletics as we know it today. He goes on to say, for me personally, Gus was bigger than life and responsible for me being hired at UT. That's right. Gus Manning hired Bud Ford back in like 1966 and appointed him to full-time, you know, role at the University of Tennessee. Also, Haywood Harris, who I just mentioned, hired him in 1961. Awesome stuff. Back to what Bud Ford had to say. I had the great privilege to witness his ability as an administrator firsthand and spent many hours traveling with him to Tennessee sporting events across the South. His recall of General Nealon and stories of UT football and basketball games was amazing. I will always be grateful to have had a career opportunity at UT and to be mentored by two great men in Gus Manning and Haywood Harris. Man, some great stuff. Peyton Manning, of course. Peyton Manning knows everybody, and Peyton Manning sought after interesting people and good people while here at the University of Tennessee and maintained those relationships on throughout his NFL tenure and post-NFL tenure to today. Man, Peyton Manning is still really, really good friends with a lot of people still involved in the Tennessee athletics department and the football program. This is what Peyton Manning had to say about Gus Manning. My thoughts and prayers are with Gus's son, Sammy, and the entire family. I was honored to call Gus Manning my friend. No one served the University of Tennessee better than Gus. He was the ultimate volunteer, and he will be missed dearly. What a life. May he rest in peace. What a life is right. Again, question of the day. Who is the greatest vol of all time? It can be Gus Manning. It can be Pat Summitt. It can be Peyton Manning. It can be Philip Fulmer. It can be Johnny Majors. It can be Candace Parker. It can be whoever you want it to be. But man, Gus Manning is 100% in this conversation. Gus Manning, what a life. And, you know, what's interesting to me is, you know, I'm a sports reporter. I'm a sports personality. Okay. I come from a sports information director background. When I first got into this field, I was assisting the Carson Newman's media relations department as an SID. Okay. And I've been on that side of it. I have a great appreciation of what Bill Martin, what Tom Stachowiak, what Sean Barrows and all those guys are doing over at the University of Tennessee, because I work with them on a daily basis. I'm calling them. I'm asking them questions. I'm bugging them. I'm working with them to cover this University of Tennessee football team or baseball team or whatever the case might be. So I have that appreciation. That's what Gus Manning was, man. But he was that so much more. I mean, just what a freaking icon. I've heard more stories over the last 2 days about Gus Manning. Some are broadcast appropriate, some are not. But he just had a lasting impact, and someone who just loved this university and who was a pillar for the university and the athletics department. I did not have a relationship with Gus Manning by the time I got to Knoxville and started covering the media and all that stuff. He was not around anymore, so I never had the pleasure of sitting down and meeting him and talking with him and, you know, breaking bread over the lunch table or whatever. But man, I've talked to a lot of people who have, and there's just a constant theme there. His love for the university, his bitterness towards anybody else in the Southeastern Conference who tries to cross, his love for the university, and just his love of life, right? So the thoughts, prayers to the family, to the Manning family, but what a life, a VFL in every sense of the phrase, 100%. Gus Manning passes away at the age of 99. Who was the greatest of all time? It doesn't have to be Gus Manning. This is a question for anybody who wants to answer, but Gus Manning is in that conversation 100%. What a life, and man, what a life. When we come back, we'll answer a couple of those Twitter Tuesday questions, but before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends over at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all those fat and calories? You have got to try Built Bar. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, that is real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. It's even better for you as they're healthy, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box for years. I've been telling you to go and order your box at Built.com. You can still do that, but now they're also available at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right, you heard that. You go to the nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a four-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, and coconut puffs. If you're close to a Sam's Club, you go ahead and run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. So order today at Built.com or go by your local Sam's or Walmart. All right, guys, welcome back in your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane, your host. Appreciate you for being here with me today. Got a big week coming up. Tennessee basketball against now number one Alabama. That's coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock inside TBA. We'll talk a little Tennessee hoops here coming up in segment three. Tennessee baseball gets the season started from Arizona. That'll be against Arizona on Friday night. Looking forward to catching that and talking about that right here on Locked On Vols. Talking about Gus Manning today. We're about to move on to answer Twitter Tuesday questions, but one more note on Gus Manning as he passes away at the age of 99 after such an incredible life lived and love for the university. Forgot to pass along this note in segment one. This was a tweet from the Vol Network on Monday. The Vol Network joins all of Big Orange Country in mourning the greatest Vol of them all, Gus Manning. When discussing Gus's influence on UT athletics, John Ward summed it up the best. Quote, "All he did was build the thing." Wow. John Ward on Gus Manning. All he did was build the thing. Of course, John Ward, we lost him a couple years ago. This quote was obviously from years ago. But when asking John Ward about Gus Manning, quote, "All he did was build the thing." That is pretty incredible. All right, Twitter Tuesday, when you guys take over the show, we'll first start with Nate. Nate says, it's a little bit of a passage here. I'll read most of it. I'm trying not to underappreciate Rick Barnes, but these kinds of losses cannot be overlooked just because he is a Hall of Fame coach. The best way to describe this team, they are capable of winning any game, but also losing any game. I do not want to pretend that the Tennessee men's basketball teams have ever been a force to be reckoned with, but Missouri and Vandy are not teams to which this team should be losing. If the football team continues to improve, would that make it easier to attract better coaches for the other sports, or does the school just before the football school and other sports have the reputation of being getting the short end of the stick? Let me let you know I'm a huge Tennessee baseball fan, love Tony V, and I think he can coach. Yeah, Nate, appreciate you chiming in, man. as far as, you know, this team capable of winning every game and losing every game, I would honestly have to agree. I mean, that's pretty spot on if you ask me. Let's see here. Okay, I wanted to check something real quick. You mentioned the Vanderbilt game, the Vanderbilt-Missouri losses are being completely unacceptable. Vanderbilt, I give that to you. Vanderbilt's a horrible, horrible team. I'm actually surprised. I'm looking at the AP poll right now. I am surprised that Missouri is not ranked this week. Missouri got 114 votes. That's almost 20 more than any other team that was outside the top 25 in receiving votes. Missouri has 19 wins on the season. It's got a couple more SEC losses than Tennessee, but it's got a couple of good wins on the year. Missouri's not a horrible basketball team. Now, again, I'm not like Tennessee should have won that game, especially after coming back from 17 down. Tennessee should have won that game. I'm not saying Tennessee shouldn't. Tennessee gave it away there at the end. But the Missouri loss is not just this horrendous loss, because that's a halfway decent basketball team. As far as what you're asking, if with football being good, does that make it more attractable for these other sports to get head coaches or whatever? Or is it simply just, you know, football gets what it wants and then all the other teams get the short end of the stick? I would answer it like this. I mean, if you are looking at accepting a job at the University of Tennessee and you're weighing the pros and the cons, I would sit there and say, what would the university or the athletics department do to put me in the best position to win? Take basketball, for instance, okay? Rick Barnes is not being fired. But take basketball, for instance. Say Tennessee was looking at looking for a new basketball coach. Well, Tennessee's recruiting well. Tennessee has a collective that is doing well in Spire Sports, okay? Tennessee showed that it did not want to lose Rick Barnes a couple years ago and gave him a raise up to $5.1 million to keep him. Okay. So that shows the investment there, the plea to be good, the resources. You have a great, you know, basketball facility. You have a good practice facility. You have everything that you need to be successful here at the University of Tennessee. And I would say for the most part, that's the case across the athletics department as a whole. I mean, Tennessee baseball is getting a major facelift. That's going to be an ongoing, you know, yearly project year after year, but you know, Tennessee baseball's already got a locker room, a new weight room, and some stuff done underneath. They're building the party porches. They put chair back seats down the right field line, trying to make it more of an accommodating and just trying to up the ante a little bit, because number one, you're good. Number two is 2023 in the SEC. You got to be great. So I would say coaches would sit there and take a long, hard look at what the university does to put those coaches in places to be successful. And I would think for the most part, Tennessee does just that, regardless of who you are. So I hope I kind of answered your question. That's kind of how I see it. Moving on here, let's go to Nate. Excuse me, we just did Nate. Let's go to Ross. Ross says, any word on what will happen with the Longhorn Network? I can't believe the SEC will allow Texas to keep that. All right, so I did some research on this on Monday afternoon, and I read a bunch of old articles, you know, dating back to when it was announced that Texas and Oklahoma were coming into the SEC. Then I saw some from earlier in the year of 2022 and then in the summer of 2022. Those are the most recent ones I could find. But essentially, after reading a couple different articles, it's my understanding that the Longhorn Network will essentially fold into the SEC network. In fact, Texas's athletic director has been quoted as recently as less than a year ago saying, the Longhorn Network? Oh, you mean the History Channel, right? Yeah, that's going to dissolve when we go to the SEC Network. What he means by that is the alternate programming that the Longhorn Network runs, and I don't know who all has the Longhorn Network, but I used to have a cable provider to where it had the Longhorn Network, and all they show is past national championships. All they show is just, you know, dedicated. It's like watching, what's it called? You know, whenever you're in a rain delay, you know, watching the Braves, you're in a rain delay, and they do all those specials, you know, back when they were on TBS and all that type of stuff. And it's just like seeing that over and over and over. The live sporting events for Texas that's on the Longhorn Network are from third party broadcast partners, and so, in which is essentially ESPN Plus or the SEC Network Plus. And so it's my understanding that all that alternate program just going to kind of be evolved and rolled into the SEC Network when they come here. And all those alternate broadcasting stuff that show live sporting events that were on the Longhorn Network will now be on the SEC Network Plus and ESPN Plus. So essentially, Longhorn Network is going to die is kind of how I interpreted that. All right, a couple more here. I asked the question on yesterday's show, who would you want to be the three permanent opponents for the University of Tennessee if the league decides to go to the 6-3 model, which I believe is exactly what they're going to do with 9 conference games. Neil says, I would go with Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Alabama. The reason, what's left of tradition. Never been a fan of playing the two toughest teams in the nation. If things go on our way, we will eventually get around to playing them if we get to the playoffs. Incidentally, I'd like to see Florida play Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. See how they like it. Just my opinion. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony said, I would love to see new rivalries, so I am going to say Vanderbilt, Alabama, and Texas. Battle the UTs. I live in Austin, and the hatred is real, even though we never play them. I like that a lot. Let's go to BS Osborne 6121. Tradition would say Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Alabama. If it's not Kentucky, then either Ole Miss or Florida. I say Ole Miss because I'm 56 years old, and we rarely played Florida and Georgia growing up, but we did play Ole Miss every single year. That's a good point. Somebody else chimes in, says Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Alabama. One Negaval says Florida, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. Crawdad Watson says Bama, Florida, and Kentucky. Anderson says South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Kentucky. Drew says my three for Tennessee would be Alabama, Florida, and Kentucky. I don't care about Vandy, but I'll probably be Bama, but it will probably be Bama, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt, or Alabama, Florida, and Vanderbilt. A lot of options here. Robert says Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Alabama. Swamp Donkey Sniper says Candy, Texas, and Bama. All right. Philip says, so I put some thought into this. Four SEC pods, North, East, West, and South. The West is Texas, Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas. The South is LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Bama. The East is Auburn, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina. The North is UT, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Missouri. Oh my God, you take that in a heartbeat, right? Three games every year when you play your pod. You have your pod versus, so that's the seven teams in the conference games, yada, yada, yada. That was actually maybe not the teams per se, but the pod system was discussed about being an option for the Southeastern Conference. They're not going to go that route, but that would be a whole lot of fun. Robert says Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Alabama. I understand people wanting to throw Texas in there, but that will never happen with the conference teams they will have here in 2024. Texas has a natural and geographical rivalries that are more important than the Battle of UTs. That is very true. Texas will have A&M, Oklahoma, and either Arkansas or Missouri. I like that. All right, Mike says, guess I'll chime in. Bama, Texas, Kentucky. Bama, just because. Texas, Battle of the UTs. And Kentucky, Beer Barrel. That's some pretty good reasoning right there. I'll mention one more. Let's go. The Proud American. I want to play Florida, Alabama, and Kentucky. And then someone says, please get rid of Alabama. Just a reminder, Alabama will not be this good forever, right? I know we keep saying this, but Alabama will not be this good forever. Nick Saban will not coach forever. So that's something to keep in mind, too, when you're planning the new developments of the Southeastern Conference with no divisions, nine games, and likely that 6-3 model. All right, when we return, Tennessee basketball has fallen down in the latest AP poll. Obviously, you go 0-2 on the week. That is going to happen. We'll talk about where Tennessee is in the Associated Press Bowl and a couple of other nuggets on where Tennessee ranks in terms of seeding and more. And that's coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app right now. It is safe. It is super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores to drain threes. Guys, I got the FanDuel Sportsbook just like you, and Super Bowl Sunday was a couple days ago, and I made some money that Sunday night. I jumped in a couple different parlays, prop bets like I told you guys about, and plus I took Kansas City money line because I knew that Philadelphia was the better football team, but I was not going against the best player in the country, and that is Patrick Mahomes. So I made some money. I'm sure you did too. We did it at FanDuel Sportsbook. All right, so plus FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get on your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. All right, boys and girls, we got one more segment left here of this Tuesday Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for hanging out with me here today. Don't forget the question of the day, and you can tweet it into me, DM it into me at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. Who is the greatest Vol of all time? Who is the greatest Vol of all time? Johnny Majors, Philip Fulmer, Pat Summitt, Candace Parker, Peyton Manning, Reggie White. There's Doug Dickey. I mean, there's Doug Atkins. There's tons and tons and tons and tons to choose from. And I didn't even go across all the sports right there. So go ahead and chime in. Who's the greatest Vol of all time? And that is brought on, inspired really by Gus Manning, who passed away earlier this week at the age of 99. Tennessee falls to number 10 in the latest AP poll after going 0-2 last week, so no shocker there, losing at the buzzer both times to Vanderbilt and Missouri. Tennessee drops four spots. It was at number 6, dropping from number 6 down to number 10. The top 10 looks like this, with Purdue dropping or falling to Northwestern last week, 64-58. Purdue falls down two spots to number 3. Alabama, who was Tennessee's next opponent Wednesday night, takes the top spot at the number 1 ranking, so it's Alabama. Houston stays idle there at number 2. Purdue is at number 3. UCLA is at 4. Kansas is at number 5, who Tennessee's beaten so far this season. Texas is at number 6, who Tennessee has also beaten. Virginia is at 7. Arizona, who Tennessee lost to, is at 8. Baylor's at 9. And Tennessee comes in there at number 10. Other SEC teams and the rankings behind the University of Tennessee, well, there is none. Missouri is getting votes at 114 votes. Let's see here. Texas A&M is getting votes, 16 votes. Arkansas got 4 votes. But those teams did not make the poll. Again, the SEC is down this year, guys. Tennessee is the last ranked SEC team in the country at number 10. And, of course, Alabama is in front of it up there at the number 1 team in the country. So it's represented, but the SEC is down, and those two teams will square off on Wednesday. So Tennessee lost twice at the buzzer, lost twice by 1 point at the buzzer this past week. It's the first consecutive losses over the last 59 games. The first consecutive losses overall, just losing basketball games. The first time Tennessee has had consecutive losses in its last 59 games. The last time Tennessee lost back-to-back games was Alabama in the SEC tournament and then Oregon State in the opening round of the NCAA tournament back in 2021. So it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but that's been 59 games the last time Tennessee has lost consecutive ball games. Tennessee has lost two straight games by a single point for the first time since 2010. December 2010 was the last time Tennessee dropped two straight games by 1 point. The last time Tennessee dropped two straight games by 1 point in SEC play was in 1981. It's been a minute, guys. The last time Tennessee lost two straight SEC games was in 1981. KenPom ranking says Tennessee dropped down to number 5 in the country. Still is the number 1 ranked defense in the country in terms of adjusted efficiency ratings defensively. And offense has actually crept back up into the 50s at number 56 because of the a good offensive out. I mean, offense won the issue against Vanderbilt, Missouri. And again, Vanderbilt, Missouri are not good defensive ball clubs. Missouri's a great offensive team. It can really shoot well. But Tennessee's defense was the issue, allowing Missouri and Vanderbilt just to, you know, shoot a ton of threes. So KenPom has Tennessee at number 5, still number 1 in defensive efficiency ratings, number 56 in offensive efficiency ratings. ESPN's Jeff Borzello dropped Tennessee down 5 spots to number 11 in his overall power rankings. This is what he wrote at ESPN.com. Well, can't blame the offense this week. Tennessee dropped both its games in heartbreaking fashion, losing a buzzer beater to Vanderbilt and then at home to Missouri. Surprisingly, it was the nation's top-ranked defense that showed cracks. The Commodores and Tigers shot a combined 24 for 51 from three-point land against the Vols. That is 47.1%. Inexcusably high in terms of perimeter defense. For the season, Tennessee ranks number 1 nationally in three-point percentage defense, allowing opponents to make just 24.2%. So on the season, Tennessee's allowing just 24.2% from three-point land. But this past week, Vanderbilt and Missouri shot 47.1% from long range. The quote goes on, the two opponents also turned it over 15 times combined in those two games. Tennessee is top 20 in the country in defensive turnover percentage. So, Tennessee's obviously struggling right now. Andy Katz also dropped the Vols 8 spots to number 11 in his power 36 for the NCAA.com. He was quoted him saying, rough week for the Vols, losing at the buzzer twice. Tennessee's got a decision to make. It's got to pick itself up off the mat right now. What's the health status of Josiah Jordan-James? What's the health status of Julian Fellows? Well, those guys, according to Rick Barnes Monday afternoon, they're going to be game-time decisions for Alabama. Tennessee was different without Josiah Jordan-James on the court. They had to be different without that lineup flexibility. You know, Julian Phillips was missed as well. I mean, Julian Phillips is consistent. In terms of his play, is he everything you thought he was going to be at the beginning of the season in terms of a lottery-type pick or whatever? No, it hasn't proved to be that case yet. But he plays every single game, and he plays his minutes, and he has, you know, just been a consistent guy in that lineup night in and night out for the University of Tennessee up until this injury. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be number one against number 10, Tennessee against Alabama. Let's see what happens. And then after that, it's going to be on the road to Kentucky and then playing Texas A&M. Tough stretch for the University of Tennessee that is struggling as of late. We'll see how it responds this week against number one Alabama and then Kentucky. All right, guys, appreciate it. It's been a fun time here on Locked On Vols. Tomorrow we'll catch up with Josh Ward. We'll get a little Ward Wednesday action. We'll continue to break down the Tennessee season opener for baseball that's coming up later this week and give you everything you need to know about Tennessee football as well. Hit me up on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel. You would be helping me out so much. Subscribe to that channel. Give this video a like and a heart. And as always, thanks for making it your first listen wherever you find your podcast. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, if you feel so inclined, give me a positive 5-star review and a positive review. That would be awesome as well. Hey, let's do it again. Same time, same place. We'll see you on Wednesday. This is Locked On Vols.